Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I am Jonathan Blevins.
Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And sometimes you'll notice that we're laughing before this because our conversations are hilarious before we start this podcast.
So I still have to eat my lunch before we leave, so we gotta hurry.
Well, I have to get lunch on the road.
Sorry.
I don't have a lot of options.
You could pack your lunch.
I quite literally cannot pack my lunch because I didn't. Okay.
Start it up.
Funny. We should have a live show of some sort. So write to somebody at EWT and say, I want a live show of Katie and John just talking nonsense. We should do that. It would be
fun. There'd have to be a 10-second delay.
Yeah.
Like the sports radio.
Yeah.
In case people call in
but
and say crazy stuff.
But if it was a live
stuff.
Show, how do you do a 10-second delay?
They do it on sports radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. No. I mean like they could come meet us.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like a live show.
I thought you meant just like live stream it.
No.
Live in person.
Well,
that'd be
fun.
Twitch
too long. Yeah, we should go.
They do that with
the
crime podcast. They do live shows.
I know they do. Crime Junkie.
By the way.
Yeah.
Something bad's gonna happen at one of those crime show live meetups.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
One of these days.
Like, and then that's gonna be a crime episode.
I know. Did I ever tell you?
Be safe.
Every time I run a lot, and so every time I go running, I'm like, this is the beginning of a true crime podcast, like, because it is. They're always, someone got murdered while jogging. And I told you last year, the path I usually take while running goes like, there's a river on this side, this like nice running path, and then there's a cemetery with a wrought iron fence on this side. And as I was approaching that area and I'm looking at the cemetery, I was like, what is that hanging on the fence? Like, is that a mannequin? Something, and like one of the Crime Junkie life rules is that it's never a mannequin, right?
Yep.
And so I'm coming up on this thing. I can't tell what it is because the sun's coming up behind it. And I was like, what is going on? And I was sure, I was like, if that is a person, I'm going to lose it because it's like, clearly hung on the fence. I was really freaked out. And as I approached it, it was a deer that had tried to jump the fence and it got caught and there was deer belly.
Yikes.
It was really gross. But thank goodness it was not a true crime podcast. It was just a quick call to the Parks and Rec Department to have them clean it up.
Dinner.
That's as close as I've ever gotten to a true crime podcast while jogging.
For now.
For now. And I'm glad of it.
Speaking of date night, we are... We're going to do our date night. I like this date night series thing that we're doing.
We've been doing that.
For parents out there who are looking for some type of media to enjoy or to avoid. And I would argue that today, the two shows we're talking about are pretty controversial.
Very controversial.
For Catholics, really. Yes. I can't really think of it being controversial for anyone else. But
yeah, these are super mainstream shows for everybody in the world.
Yeah. And not all bad.
Right?
Not all bad. And so we're gonna have some good conversation about this, but we're gonna talk about Nobody Wants This.
Yeah, it's a comedy on Netflix.
And Shrinking, which is a drama/comedy on Apple
dramedy.
TV.
Yeah, on Apple TV.
Yep. A dramedy. I like that.
Dramedy, that's right. So which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with Seth Cohen and Nobody Wants This.
Nobody Wants This. Okay. So neither of these shows are appropriate for children. This is a date night episode or after the kids are, you know, out of the house, or maybe they're with grandma or they've gone to bed for the night, and you and the hubs or you and the wife, whatever gender you happen to be, are going to sit down and watch a show together. And these are some of the options that are very, very, very popular right now. So Nobody Wants This is a podcast. It's a show starring Kristen Bell, whom I'm occasionally told I look like,
yep.
Who is a podcaster, which is kind of fun. And she
be more specific.
She is a podcaster who, in the very first episode, it's implied that she is a sex podcaster. As the episodes progress, it's less about that, more about relationships. But there is like, you know, think Carrie Bradshaw, kind of like discussing her relationships usually involves a little bit of that situation. She's not exactly a religious person. That's the point, is that she's kind of crass. She's a little bit, I would say she's the way 70% of American adult women are.
Yeah.
And that might be something that you lament, and maybe I do too, but she is very, very normal and not necessarily virtuous. And she starts, she goes to a party and meets up with a guy that she thinks is really cute and funny. And turns out he's a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi.
Seth Cohen,
who's not, it's Adam Brody, who played Seth Cohen in The OC.
I know, but you have to, these producers and these casters, they're so genius. Like, you put Seth Cohen, who, you know, everyone watched The OC back then. Most people watched The OC who are our age and maybe a little younger, a little older. And so he's in something new. I have to watch it.
Yeah.
And Kristen Bell was in Parenthood.
Yep.
And so, wasn't she?
No.
What?
Kristen Bell was not in Parenthood.
What was the big show she was in?
Her husband, Dax Shepard,
was in Parenthood. Thank you.
Yeah.
What was she in that was huge that everyone loved recently?
The Good Place.
The Good Place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then you put them together, and now you've got everyone who liked The Good Place and everyone who liked The OC watching. Anyway, I digress.
Sure.
It's genius marketing.
Sure. Well, the whole time we were watching this with my husband and I were watching it, he said, this looks like my wife dating Cal, our producer, who he thinks is Adam Brody adjacent, which is really, really funny. But so she's a podcaster. He's a rabbi, and he has a very sincere faith, and he is very he's very interested in God. He's very interested in he's a rabbi, for goodness sake, which means, you know, he's basically a priest. And he not basically a priest, but you know what I mean? Like the equivalent in different faith traditions.
Yes.
It's not like a small thing for him. This is like, he wants to be the head rabbi. He's wanted to be a rabbi his entire life. He loves the Bible. He loves prayer. He like all of these things. And so when Joanne, which is Kristen Bell's character, and Noah start dating, that's why nobody wants this. Like, his parents are not into this. They don't like, she's not Jewish. Her family is like, why are, this is weird. Like, what's going on here? And so hilarity sort of ensues because it is a very much an odd couple situation.
Yeah.
So, what, you got to watch a couple of episodes. I've seen the entire series. So what was your initial reaction?
Yes, similar to Shrinking, I've seen the entire series so far, and you've seen a couple of episodes. So let's talk about it. I mean, it reminds me slightly of the shows that we just did last month, where it seems to normalize all of the things in the world that Catholics don't want normalized, right? So just the treatment of marriage and divorce, the sexual content and cohabitation, the tone toward religion at times, although I do think like that his portrayal as a rabbi is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it's a mocking religion by any means,
not
but like
they
the tone is interesting. And then just like, of course, in all the shows right now that are not explicitly religious, there's just a ton of moral ambiguity. And just the first few episodes that I've seen. But like, if we talk about this all the time, if those things do not lead you to sin, and you want to watch something that's entertaining, you can do that and have it be something that's entertaining and still have really good conversations with your spouse about what's happening in the show. Like, it's a really entertaining show.
It is a very entertaining show. And I would say that, like, these are concepts that don't need normalizing. Like, that would be like saying, you know, we're normalizing wearing jeans and t-shirts.
Right, like everyone's doing it.
Everyone's already doing it. It's not like because this exists now the culture is going to fall apart. It's already there. So the perspective I always want to encourage Catholics to take is to look at this thing that it's normalizing sin, but that sin is already normalized.
Right.
Where is it normalizing something faithful?
Yep.
Where are you able to like say, hey,
good,
hang on
true,
a second.
And beautiful.
Yeah, hang on. There's something good, true, and beautiful in this, because these things are already normalized. And if we are ever going to have that missionary heart or the ability to like talk to our peers about our faith life, then you know, being able to have these cultural touch points is important. Like if you can't talk to people at a dinner party and all you can talk about is Catholicism, you're going to sit alone in the corner by yourself,
right,
and you're not going to lead anyone to Christ. Whereas like this whole show, it's very funny. It's a comedy. The whole show is about him trying to lead her to Judaism, like trying to teach her that God matters and that this is important in the world. And one of the things that kind of never comes up, they always pointed out as like, you know, Noah's going to lose his job. Noah's not going to get a promotion because he's dating this girl. And they sort of frame it that way. And I'm really interested to see at some point where they're like, can we talk about the fact that it's not just his job. This is his calling. He truly believes in God. He truly believes in the teachings of his church. And he loves it with all of his heart, which is why he doesn't go out and like when he stops at one point, you know, he stops being a rabbi because he doesn't get the head rabbi job at his particular temple. He doesn't go becoming an IT guy.
Right.
He just becomes a rabbi somewhere else. Like this is something that matters very, very deeply to him. And that's sort of begged the question in the background the entire time. It's like he loves her and he loves this so much. So like there's a there, you know, and it's got mainstream popularity, this idea that this person, and she's the one moving, by the way, like her behavior gets more and more Jewish as the thing goes on. He does not get more and more radical.
Yeah.
He, you know, there's different moralities in the two different faith traditions anyway, but he's kind of like a reformed Jew. But, you know, like, it's very interesting to watch them have that discussion and have that be a mainstream part of the world.
Do you think, spoiler alert, is she going to become Jewish or has she already? Or
So I'm at the end of season three. She hasn't converted yet. She like at one point was like, I'm going to because I want to be with him long term. So she's like starting to look into it. But that's what's really kind of beautiful about this show. It's a comedy. It's a comedy. It's a comedy. It's a comedy. All of this is hidden underneath this very funny show where she's like, I want to come to Shabbat. I want to sit there with your family and I want to light the candles. And he explains like, this is why we light the candles on Shabbat. This is what these prayers mean. They're in a restaurant at the end of one of the first episodes and he's praying in Yiddish, singing. It's very counterculture what's happening here. So when you're saying they're normalizing sin, I would say that sin's already normal. What right. they're normalizing here that's weird is public displays of religion.
I like that.
Kind of amazing. And I'm really enjoying this show. And that, like whenever I find somebody who's watched it, I'm like, do you wonder why they're not bringing up the fact that like this is important to him? Like this matters. It's not just his job.
Right.
Yeah. And I've had several great conversations with secular people about it.
So you are saying this is a one thumbs up or two thumbs up for date night?
So I would say there is... is there any nudity? I didn't notice any nudity.
I don't think so.
Both of those actors do not do nude scenes. I know that. So I don't remember any nudity. If there was, there might have been a booty somewhere.
There's a crude conversation.
There's crude conversation. There's occasional swearing. There's references to drinking and marijuana use in states where it's legal. But not like there's not. It's not Sex in the City. Like you're not watching people engage in. It's not pornography at all. So it's rated MA, mature, but I think it's because it's crude. So if those kinds of things don't bother you, or if you're willing to use a content filter like VidAngel, you'll be great.
Yep.
And it's really, I would give it two thumbs up. It's super fun.
Wow. Yeah. I will say this, I will continue watching it.
It's so funny.
So 100%.
Yeah.
Although I have to do that on my own when I travel because Jody's already seen it, unless she wants to watch it.
Jody's seen the whole episode?
She's seen all of it.
What does Jody think of it?
She loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had like a 20-minute conversation about it yesterday.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I wish I would have known that you wanted to watch that because I would have watched it with you. But she's been caught up since it came out, I think.
Yep.
On all the seasons.
Well, new season coming out.
So Shrinking.
Apple TV. I had to get Apple TV for F1 this year.
Apple TV, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is crushing everyone else.
Doing crazy stuff.
With shows. You have Severance. Silo is really good.
Yeah.
Paradise is not, never mind. Paradise is not on there. That's on Hulu, but that's one of the best shows I've ever seen. We're going to have to do an episode on that, and you're going to have to catch up first.
Okay. Every episode that, Paradise. Whenever we're trying to come up with adult episodes, John's like, here's nine shows that are on Apple TV. I'm like, I have to get Apple TV.
It's so good. Hijack is pretty good.
Yeah.
With Idris Elba, I think is the character in that.
Idris Elba's
in that. He's a beast. And so Shrinking is another Apple TV. Ted Lasso is on Apple. And
Manhunt a year ago that I really liked was on Apple. It was a miniseries.
Really?
You remember? We did a show about it.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
With John Wilkes Booth.
I do. Yeah, that was crazy. So Shrinking has the guy from How I Met Your Mother. Jason, is it Siegel or Seagal?
I would say Siegel, but I don't know. It's I thought it was Siegel. S-E-G-E-L.
So Shrinking has Jason Siegel from How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. There's a minor character in season two who has been a little bit in season three, who is the girl from How I Met Your Mother who he... like was with.
Oh,
so that's kind of fun.
That's funny.
And then there's a bunch of other just really good. Harrison Ford.
Yes. Heidi Gardner is in there. She's from, you would know her from SNL.
Yep.
Yeah. And the girl that was on The Daily Show when it was still funny, Jessica Williams.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's got a great cast. You know, I will say this. So it's about this therapist who has, look at me doing, by the way, the summary. This is special. This is good stuff. This is high quality content right here for you. It's about this therapist who has a daughter and his wife, her mom, passes away in a tragic accident. And that's not a spoiler alert. You find that out in the very first episode. And he is obviously going through it and going through all the stages of grief and really struggling. In fact, in the very first episode, there's a pretty explicit scene with some sex workers that he has hired. This is not who this guy is at all. The show never really goes that direction ever again. So it's a really weird way to start.
And it doesn't appear, when you say explicit, they're in his pool. They're not doing anything.
Ooh, yeah, references, I should say.
Yeah,
explicit references.
It's not pornography.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a ton of cursing. So it's the whole show, though, is about him and his daughter moving through the grief of losing the wife and mother and working with Harrison Ford, who's another therapist. And then their next door neighbors, there's all these kind of best friends that are all going through their own stuff, like all of us are in our own, life. Yeah. And they're helping each other kind of move through it through friendship. through conversation, through good accountability. And it is, it's funny. It is sad. Like it, like there have been episodes where like Jody and I are just weeping.
Yeah.
It cuts to the core of, I think, what anyone in today's world is going through. Does a really good job of not like trying to say, this is how the world, how we think the world is. It's just kind of like how it is.
Yeah.
And you get to know a whole bunch of different characters, but it really just follows these like 5 to 8 main characters that are working through their own stuff and just trying to be the people that I would say, and you and I would say, that God has made them to be.
Absolutely.
And it's just really interesting, but it has like everything that Catholics will complain about media having. Right? It just does. It has tons of cursing, lots of references and jokes, very strong language. They have recently in season 3 started to mock religion a little. Just saw a comment here or there like, yeah. Oh, you're getting married outside? It's like, yeah, priests are weird. Like, no thanks. Like, it's one little comment. Mm-hmm. And like, as a very faithful Catholic, it's like, oh, come on, you don't have to do that.
You don't need to do that.
There's a lot of redeeming things about the show that I love. But that part's getting a little bit annoying. They have focused a lot in season 2 and season 3 on this gay couple that is trying to, that is adopting a kid. And that whole thing's in there. A lot of moral ambiguity. And I would just say like a lot of the shows we're watching, just a large secular worldview.
Yeah.
So if you've made it through this part so far, and those things do not offend you, it is a really good show.
Yeah.
I have not been moved by a TV show like this probably since Parenthood.
Yeah.
And that was a great show too. And I will say this too, like I looked up a bunch of Catholic and Christian reviews of the show. There's a lot of people that are praising it for how they explore grief and forgiveness and community.
Yeah.
And like those are things that like we just need desperately today. They're almost never on their phones. Like yeah. they're in person, they're present, and they're not perfect and they apologize. And it's just like a very normal way that healthy people should live. And if you just added God into it would be like the greatest show of all time.
It really would be. Have you ever heard that metaphor that people use for grief where they're like, it's like a marble in a box and there's just one spot of the box that hurts. And then you like roll the marble around and 90% of the time it's not touching it. But then occasionally it rolls over that spot and that's the spot that hurts.
Yeah.
Like that people describe grief that way as a marble in a box. And the show is that way where you're like, things are going along, things are funny. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, like this is, oh my gosh, my heart, the whole thing is, it's. For me, having gone through a pretty deep experience of grief in the last year, this was so meaningful to me for that. And I thought it was great. And I'm only a couple of episodes in. But one of the things that I really love about it is that I have a weird relationship with therapy. And I think many of our viewers might, because therapy has been sort of weaponized a little bit against religious people in recent years. There's a lot of great good that can come out of it, but these are a bunch of therapists who are doing this, right? Like the main character is a therapist and his coworkers are all therapists. And what he's doing in this show is a lot of, instead of needing a therapist, what you need is a friend, like a community, a person. Like, so he's violating all of these therapy norms to help his patients, but really just being their friend. And that was something that was really redeeming to me, that I was like, when you said you wanted to do the show that was about therapy, I was like, oh, I don't want to, but like, I thought it was fantastic in doing that. Another thing that I was thinking about, we always hear people talk about St. Augustine when they're like, oh, you know, every saint has a history. Think about St. Augustine. If you've ever gone back and looked at St. Augustine's history, the things that people are like, oh, he was so terrible. He had a child outside of wedlock with a woman and he had a bunch of relationships. But that one woman that had his child, that was kind of like a big deal. And like when he had to leave her, that was a whole issue. But for the most part, the things that made St. Augustine so awful are things that we would consider extremely normal now.
Right.
So I always think about this when people are saying that, especially when they're trying to be like evangelical about it, when they're trying to say like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what your background is, think about St. Augustine, he was terrible. And then when you try to list off what he did, it's like stuff you did, and right. You're calling them terrible to their face. So when I'm looking at shows like this where it's like there's so much secularism in it, there's no like love of Christ in here, I think to myself like, this is reality for most people. You know, like our faith is the privileged path to heaven, but most people are gonna have to overcome all of that in order to get to where we are. And it's good to know what that is and to be able to empathize with it and not look at it as other and you, because you can't love people that you can't understand. And so this for me is like a beautiful look at humanizing people that don't live the way that we do and wanting to love them so that they can love the way that we do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And this, one of the things this show does, so this is half a spoiler, so don't listen to this if you're going to watch the show, but stop it. You'll be fine. One of the characters that they introduce is the person who was driving the car that killed his wife and the mom. And then, and they like interact with this person and it becomes, he becomes kind of a main character, and like they're trying to figure out if they can forgive him. And that's like, I mean, like show me that in a movie or a show right now.
Yeah.
Right. Like show me any type of like massive forgiveness that's going on. It was cool. Like Jesus on the cross saying, forgive them, they don't know what they do. And as Catholics, we say things like, we need to forgive the worst people of all time. And we've had saints who have forgiven.
Saint Maria Goretti.
Maria Goretti, think of her. And you're like, yeah, but there's no way. And then here's a show that like isn't even involving God. Although you could argue that there's that he's at work there, obviously.
Yeah.
Like addressing that issue. And that's not an issue everyone has gone through, but everyone can relate to someone who's unforgivable in their life. Mm-hmm. And like working through all that is just, it's so cool and it's so raw and the acting is really good. So if all the things we mentioned about the show are not things that would lead you away from God,
yeah,
I think it's totally worth the watch for now. There's a whole bunch more episodes coming out this season three or four. But I think it's awesome and it's one of the best shows on TV. Don't watch it when the kids are around.
None of this is appropriate for children. We're saying that right out the gate. Yeah, that's, I was thinking when you were talking about that, about the bishops that I talked to from Nigeria. I do a podcast with missionaries and missionary bishops and things like that. And they talk often about like the Fulani herdsmen that are kidnapping priests in Nigeria and how those priests come out and they're, I mean, I've spoken to one of those priests who spent 10 days in the bush with the Fulani herdsmen and like barely survived. And they're damaged. They're very, very, like, you got kidnapped. Of course, it was not good things. But this bishop is talking about it saying, like, what we need to understand is that these people are hurting. These people need money. They're not actually trying to kill anybody. This isn't an attack on Christians so much as it is an attack on anybody because they're just angry and hurting and lashing out. And hearing a Nigerian priest or Nigerian bishop say that, especially with all that we know about Nigeria and the way that, you know, things are going there. He's talking specifically about the Fulani herdsmen, and there's a whole other thing with, you know, Boko Haram that's completely different. But it's just a mindset that Catholics and Christians need to have in their head all the time, is that the world that we live in is a fallen world, and it's our job to redeem it, and we can't do that by turning our back on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. Watch the show with Kleenex. You're going to cry at least 5 times.
Yeah. And again, if those are things that set you off or the keep you off your path toward Christ, don't watch it. But if it did very much.
If you do, make some popcorn, 2 thumbs up for me.
Exactly. There is so much content out there for us to wade through.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?
Or the parents?